Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in to Religionless Christianity. I'm your host, Spencer. This is my darling of a wife, Nikki.
Hello.
And we are so happy that you guys are here joining us. This is episode 2. Happy to be here. We're excited. Got some good topics, I think, to talk about today. And if you are new to the show, we'd love for you to go and check out our episode zeros. I know that there's a lot of them, but we wanted you guys to get to know us and why we're here. So please consider going to check those out. We'll have those linked up here and in the description. You can go check those videos or the podcast out if you're on the podcast, just so you get to know us a little bit more. But before we dive in, you got anything you want to say?
I just want to say thank you guys for watching our video. And we just want you guys to hop onto social media and hopefully we can discuss all these things together and just get our community of like-minded believers building.
So, yeah, and like and subscribe to this video. We would appreciate it. All right, so I think we got a pretty good topic here today. So I listened to podcasts, and I stumbled across this podcast for the first time. It was called, the podcast is called The Libertarian Christian. And if you're not a libertarian, don't let the name scare you off. They did not really discuss politics at all in this episode. And we'll link the episode down in the description. Go check it out. It was pretty good conversation. And I don't remember the host's name, but the guest that they had on, his name was Kurt Williams, and he had written this book called Echoing Hope. And kind of the point of the book was to look at Jesus's humanity. You know, we focus a lot on Jesus's divinity. This book wanted to take a look at the human side of Jesus. And it was a good conversation all around. They seemed like pretty intelligent fellows, and it was a good discussion, but I wanted to focus on two points that he brought up in the book, or he brought up from the book. Mm-hmm. And the first one, you know, the host asked him to identify a couple of like the main ways that Jesus displayed his humanity when he was on earth. And he kind of made a joke, the host did, about, you know, it's hard for us to all wrap our minds around, you know, walking on water and stuff like that. And the guest was like, well, actually, the first thing that I discuss is Jesus walking on water might be the ultimate display of his humanity. And that was such a weird thing for me to, I've never heard somebody mention that before. Have you ever heard that?
No. Never heard that.
Yeah, like we always assume like Jesus walked on water because he was God. But the point that the author was making, and he elaborates probably more intelligently than I'm going to elaborate here, but basically that, you know, in ancient times, the sea was sort of depicted as like evil or darkness. And a lot of ancient Jews, you know, they thought of the sea as like a dangerous place. Your ship could get capsized in the storms and the monsters, and it was just kind of depicted as a place of evil. So for Jesus to get out and walk on the water, or even later when he would speak to the storm and cause it to calm, you know, that was basically Jesus in a human sense asserting his dominion over this earth, which is what we were designed to do, right? And God's initial plan in the Garden of Eden, man was given dominion over the earth. So the point that the author made was that maybe Jesus walking on water showed his ultimate humanity, because as a human man, you know, he was God's image bearer in the earth. And anywhere that there is like trouble or things going wrong in the earth, God's image bearer should be able to go there and solve it. You know, so Jesus walking on water, it's evil. He solves it. He calms the storm and he solves it. So I just, such a bizarre take. And
what came to me was that we're supposed to do the things that Jesus did. And I haven't heard of anybody walking on water in that. I mean, that doesn't matter if I do walk on water. I don't know. But that, like, all the miracles and, like, the things that we're supposed to be doing are greater than walking on water anyway. So it's like we put that above healing somebody's body or even raising somebody from the dead, casting out a demon. It's like just walking on water seems small in comparison. You know, it's so, like you said, it's like something that God could do. But Peter walked on the water when he kept his eyes on Jesus. So it wasn't just something that only God does. Like, we can do everything that Jesus did on the earth.
Yeah, but, and I mean, and the author did make the point that, like, he doesn't necessarily think that, like, us as believers can go out and walk on water.
No, that's not.
And I don't know that I don't necessarily believe that we couldn't. If God wanted us to, then we could. Yeah. But he made the point in there that, like, maybe outside of Jesus and maybe being in a close proximity to him, you may not be able to, you know, perform that exact miracle. But that exact miracle wasn't really the point. It was just the idea of, yeah, like the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us that we're going to do greater things than he ever did. Now, is that like greater in miracle? Like, are we going to, yeah, like, you know, walk in the, fly through the air or something? Like, is that greater, or is it just greater in number? Which, you know, obviously we've certainly done, right? We've had more people have been healed since Jesus left. And, you know, so in our humanity, we are called to go and be those image bearers and right the wrongs in the world, you know, that we see. And, you know, I don't think a lot of Christians see themselves that way. And I think a lot of that has to do with, like, just assuming, well, Jesus is God. So yeah, he can lay his hands on the sick and they're healed. But I mean, the apostles, they walked past people and their shadows fell on them and they got healed.
Yeah.
Like, crazy things. And, you know, I, for one, still believe, I mean, I know Christians get bogged down in, like, the miracles and the gifts and the, do they or don't they, like, exist anymore?
For today, but, I mean, the Holy Spirit's with us. He hasn't forsaken us, and there's work to be done. And I could never say, I mean, I personally have been healed.
Yeah. I mean, I believe
so
in
I have
him.
Testimony, but it's all you just taking my word for it. But he's he's working still the same.
Yeah, I mean, if he's still the God that created the universe, I don't think that he necessarily stopped healing, you know. But again, that wasn't the point. So just a really interesting topic. I'd love to hear what you guys have to say about this idea of Jesus's humanity being on full display through this one act of walking on the water, because it was just such a bizarre point. So just fascinating. But the second one, and you sort of mentioned it, was Peter walking on the water as well. And this was not really an idea that the guest went into on this podcast, but, you know, this show is called Religionless Christianity for a reason that we've laid out in earlier episodes. But, you know, as I was listening to this show, it just sort of struck me, this idea of Peter following Jesus, right? Like, the apostles grew up at a time not like today. Like, they grew up in a religious society, a Jewish society, where, like, being religious was the, like, what you wanted to be in that society. It was thought of very highly. And
yeah, everybody served some sort of God.
Yeah, they served some sort of God. And then obviously in Israel, like, they were Jews. They served, you know, the God of their ancestors and all that. And then here comes Peter and these other apostles, and they follow this complete radical, like, that everybody around them that they knew were religious men calling a blasphemer and wanting to put him to death. And he just completely took their religion and just flipped it upside down. Mm-hmm. And it just blew me away, like, in that moment, thinking, you know, that's religionless Christianity. For their time, that was religionless Christianity. Everything they knew about Jewish religion, almost, Jesus walked in and was like, you got it all wrong. And, like, just think about that for us today. Like, if we hear a pastor or a preacher that tells us something that goes against our, like, own mm-hmm. personal orthodox, we're like, finding a new church. This guy is crazy, you know, like, speaking in tongues. What is he doing? Like, and then here's Jesus just, like, taking these Jewish leaders, dragging them, like, across the carpet, telling them everything they do is wrong. And they're supposed to be the experts of the day. And, like, like, I'm just struck with the idea that, like, we wouldn't follow Jesus if he was here. You know, one of my favorite Christian songs is Todd Agnew's My Jesus. And he sings in there, like, my Jesus would never be accepted in my church. You know, the blood and the dirt on his feet might stain the carpets. And I'm just like, that song hits me because I feel like that's so true. Like, oh, you want to go preach to the prostitutes and, you know, you want to go have dinner with the gangbangers? Like, this, that's not a religious man. And, like, it's the same thing Jesus dealt with in his day. Oh, you're with a tax collector, huh? Like, it just, it's fascinating.
I know. I just was thinking about how the Pharisees, everybody had the, you know, the Torah and all the prophecies of Jesus, and he wasn't who they thought he was going to be. And they rejected him. And then I'm just like, why did the disciples just, is it that they just liked Jesus that they started following him? Because they really didn't believe, they started following him, and it's like they needed proof. They're like, he really is the Messiah after he walked on water. Like, yeah, how many, like, miracles?
How many miracles did he do? And they're like, yeah, oh, Jesus in the boat. They're like, Jesus, so, like, we're going to die. And, like,
why were they following him to begin with if they didn't really believe he was the Messiah? Were they just checking him out or? But
yeah, and they didn't believe it really even after his death.
Yeah.
I mean, they were locked in upper room, scared, trying to figure out what they're going to do. Their Messiah is dead. And they still didn't believe. It wasn't until, and this might be a topic for another day too, but to me, that's one of my greatest, I guess, one of the biggest reasons why I believe in the Bible and believe in Jesus, that, like, here's these group of guys. You know, there's people right now today that'll go and blow themselves up for Allah and all that stuff. But, like, that wasn't these disciples. They were cowards, most of them. And Jesus died and they were ducking and running. You know, they were anywhere to be, you know, anywhere other than where Jesus was when he was getting crucified. And something happened between his death to where years later, they were actually willing to go and get boiled in oil, crucified upside down. So, like, what happened? And to me, they saw him again. He rose from the dead, just like the Bible said he did. They saw him, and it completely changed their mindset from being cowards to courageous. And to me, that's one of the greatest testimonies to the Bible, you know, Jesus's accuracy in my eyes. But
It's a good topic. It's so easy to get off any topic about God. I so easily get off and we start talking about something different, but I was just wanting to get on that point about how we so easily will judge a pastor and just write him off because he fails once. And we are supposed to hold pastors to a higher standard, but we forget they are still human and in need of forgiveness. And be encouraged after they fall. And that's exactly what Jesus told Peter. Like, after you deny me, go back and strengthen your brethren or encourage your brethren. And they could have just been like, I don't know if they knew that he denied Jesus three times, but if they had known, would they have just cast him away? Like we do to pastors when they fall.
Yeah, like if Peter was around today he would not be allowed in Christian circles. Like, we would run Peter off, and here he is, the rock of our faith. And yeah, he, like, you know, I remember reading articles. I like Christian rap music. That's what I listen to most times. And, you know, Lecrae gets, you know, torn apart because his faith isn't as solid sounding as what we think it should be. Or like Lauren Daigle, you know, goes on TV and gives a pretty, you know, wishy-washy answer on Jesus and whatever.
Like, why did we hold her to such a high standard when she's a musician, but we held her to this standard like she should be a theologian or something?
Yeah.
Like I judged her a lot. I admit that. I was like mad because I was like, if I would have been up there, I would have said this and that. But
yeah,
she probably needed a lot of encouragement, I'm sure.
Yeah, like she had her theology wrong and we can't even listen to her music anymore. Peter literally denied Jesus three times and we're like, oh man, Peter, what a, you know, rock solid Christian. Like, it's just funny the way that we kind of twist ourselves around to make that stuff fit. So I think, like, as a religionless sort of Christianity mindset, like, we definitely need to be way more forgiving. Don't give the, you know, obviously you can't let them off the hook, right? Like, if these people like Lauren Daigle are, they get off the course, we need to be there to bring them back, but we can't just throw them under the bus, right? Like, especially someone that has a platform. Like, Lauren Daigle has a huge platform. She has the ability to reach millions of people. We can obviously afford to lose them. We have God, but we shouldn't want to lose them. We should be trying to insulate these people, you know, instead of like throwing them under the bus that their theology was wrong. We should be praying for them. We should be reaching out to them on social media or however you can get a hold of them and trying to correct them. I mean, the Apostle Paul went and corrected Peter and the other apostles when they were wrong. He didn't just say, you know what, Peter's a hypocrite, we can't listen to him anymore.
Yeah, I didn't publicly bash. And that's something I learned this year is through reading the Bible. Whenever we're in an argument or disagreement with another Christian, we go and, you know, we have to discuss it with someone else first and get their opinion before we make amends with them. And we're not supposed to do that, actually. We're supposed to keep it private and talk to them one-on-one, because even if the thing is true that they did, when you go and tell somebody else that they did that, it's still what is the word? It's slander. And Peter wasn't slandered.
No.
Like, we don't.
I mean, you're gossiping, you're slandering. Yeah. And really, you're not going to someone to tell them about what happened to you so you can go, please tell me where I was wrong and how I can fix it. You're going to go, can you believe that they said this to me when all I did and I was right and they were wrong? Like,
but that's what we did, you know, to Lauren Daigle. And like, I just was convicted because I'm like, wow, I was joining in the slander.
Yeah. And like, we just can't write these people off. Like, if they're Christian at all, you know, like even the littlest bit, you know, and someone like Lauren Daigle too, like, I mean, I'm don't mean to throw her under the bus or make her the feature of this, you know, but there's been a lot of young and new believers that have found a lot of inspiration and a lot of like hope in her music, even if it might not be the Psalms written by David, you know, but nobody's singing the Psalms, right? Like, if David's Psalm came on the radio, you'd turn it off. So we need people like her. We just, rather than writing them off, we need to insulate them and correct them where they're wrong in a loving way and, you know, bring them back in the fold, just like the apostles did to Peter, you know. So yeah, just, it was a really good podcast. I definitely encourage you guys to listen to it. If I can find his book, I'll have links to his book down in the description. Go check it out. Sounds like a really good read. You know, we don't focus on Jesus' humanity often enough, but he was 100% man.
I feel like we didn't like talk about that. Like, a little
Jesus
off.
Jesus was man.
Yeah.
End of topic. But we want to wrap this thing up. We don't want it to run too long. So do you have any last thoughts or anything you want to say?
just again, I just encourage you guys to just get on social media, and we really do want to hear from you and just get any testimonies on here, and that's about it.
Yeah, we'd love to continue these discussions, so please jump on Discord, whatever, and, you know, help us out. We know that we're not 100% right all the time either. Mm-hmm. We need you guys to correct us just the same, so hope to see you guys there. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. We would appreciate it. But until next time, God bless. We love you.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.